Blog Talk Radio.
Gents, and welcome to episode 52 of the Barbershop Window Podcast on this Sunday night, March 1st, 2015. I am your host, as always. I'm always here, Chris Vigilante. I can't say the same for my two lackeys, who, yet again, this is becoming a common show occurrence, are not here on time. So I actually don't think Rob's going to be joining us today. Shane is supposed to be joining us today, but as per usual, not here. Well, we have a packed show anyway. A lot of stuff has gone on this week in professional wrestling since the last time we were on the air, which we're going to talk about. Hopefully it's not going to just be me going on and on for the next, hour plus. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully, for those of you out there who might be listening, if it is just me, that won't be an automatic I'm turning this thing off moment for you. But we have a lot to talk about. A lot has gone on. We had the Fastlane pay-per-view happen since the last time we were on. So, we're going to be hopefully a little discussion about that and, what happened, although I'm sure it's been talked about ad nauseum by now. But, our thoughts on the show, what happened on Raw. Obviously, the big stories coming out this week, I think, personally, obviously Brock Lesnar leaving Monday Night Raw early, and then showing up last night at UFC 184. It's a big story. Is the WrestleMania main event in danger? I don't know. We'll talk about it, see what happens with that. Obviously, other big things that happened is there's a rumor that Samoa Joe has been offered a WWE contract. That's something to talk about. AJ Lee and her tweets to Stephanie McMahon this week, which were pretty eye-opening. Also, we have, news broke that Rey Mysterio left the company finally. So that's something we can talk about. I'm obviously curious to hear anyone's opinion out there who wants to discuss, especially right now while I'm alone. So if you'd like to join in the conversation, please give me a call, 646-716-4706. Again, that's 646-716-4706. If you can join in the conversation, let me know what you think about any of those topics or anything else you want to discuss. We'd love to hear from people. Or you can drop us an email, barbershopwindowpodcast@gmail.com, and we will read anything we get on the air. So you may have the chance to bash us on our show, and you'll be able to hear it played back after. That'll be fun. So let's see. As of right now, surprise, surprise, I still have not been joined by Rob or Shane. As I said, I think Shane is actually supposed to be here. I don't think Rob is. But why don't we start talking about something? I think obviously the biggest news that happened this week that we have to start off with is Brock Lesnar. Obviously, I wanted to talk about, let's jump ahead a little bit as far as, starting with Fastlane and what happened at that show. But, I mean, that's the big news item of the week. I mean, not supposedly, Brock Lesnar was advertised to appear on Monday Night Raw this week in Nashville, and he was, WWE promoted it, that he was going to be there, and the whole show goes by. He is not there, and it comes out later in the evening that he has left the building, that he did show up to Raw, but did leave the building. The talk is that there was a heated argument between Brock Lesnar and Vince McMahon backstage. Supposedly, the rumor right now is that it has to do with a new contract that WWE wants him to sign and the terms of that contract. But nothing has really been disclosed as far as the real details on what's been going on. But, oh, look who we have. We have somebody who's joining us. It looks like Shane has finally decided to enter the fray, so let's get him in. Shane, have you joined us?
I have.
Excellent. Now I can stop talking to myself.
What were you talking about?
Well, I was kind of running down some of the topics that, some of the things that happened this week in our world of professional wrestling. But I was just starting to talk about what I thought was the kind of the biggest story of the week, which has to be, you know, Brock Lesnar leaving Raw and showing up at UFC 184 last night, sitting next to Dana White and Lorenzo Fertitta.
Oh, did he really? I didn't even see
that. No, yeah,
he
was sitting next to Dana White at the UFC event last night. So, I don't know. What do you think?
Dana White's really an asshole, huh?
Oh, Dana?
Dana White.
I mean, I don't know if he's an... I mean, supposedly like, Brock...
But I hate this whole thing. Oh, no, he's just a businessman. He's just going for the bottom line. If he was a businessman, his company wouldn't be in the complete decline. I mean, sponsorships are dropping off. You know, viewership is very low. Like, and I hate that. No, at the end of the day, you're just an asshole. So how do you think this is going to help him out? Like, more controversy? I think it's a stupid move.
Well, I think
I didn't even see what happened, but just that's my initial reaction.
Well, I think bringing Brock back is definitely a draw, especially if he, you know, at first. I mean, we'll have to see how he performs, but at first I think it's going to be...
But what are you
going
to do? Just bring in former professional wrestlers to draw your cards? No, you have to build your own...
It's not like he'd be coming in cold, you know, from wrestling to the UFC. He's been there before and, you know, the former, you know, heavyweight champion. So it's not like he's coming in cold. But what do you make of the situation as a whole? I mean, the story coming out is that he obviously showed up to Raw and he got into a heated argument with Vince McMahon, supposedly over the terms of the contract that they want him to sign, and that's when he left. And, you know, he shows up at the UFC show. I mean, do you think this is a sign that he actually is going to UFC? Is he just trying to do a leverage move to make WWE sweat a little bit? Like, what do you think? What do you think is going on? Is the WrestleMania main event in danger? Is Brock not going to just not show up ever again? Like, what do you think is going to happen?
I mean, I heard a lot of rumors from what happened at the actual pay-per-view. I think the most obvious one and the most credible one is he got, the end of, like, the fiscal year. You know, it's February, so people would be getting checks from their commissions from 2014. I think he was upset with the payouts from the pay-per-views because, of the transition to the network. And that's why I think they had that argument and he stormed off. I think it's a smart move just to appear on Raw, and I think it was just a move to leverage his contract with the WWE. I mean, I think it'd be very foolish of... I don't know. I'm also just getting this information now, so I'm just, like, processing it. I mean, it'd be a prime time for Brock to move over to the UFC after the Mir win, because people are, Mir's now like a more respectable figure. Not that respectable, you know, he's in his last four fights, he's 1-3. But the point being, it sets up a nice little storyline for his fight with Brock. So I could see Brock going to the UFC more of a reality now. But what, he's just going to have that one fight and leave? Who else could he possibly fight?
I think it depends on, it, you know, how long he really wants to do any kind of anything, in any kind of combat sport, whether it's wrestling or MMA. It's really going to depend on how much longer he wants to do it. If he doesn't plan on doing it for much longer, he's probably better off going to the UFC because he can do, you know, he can make more money doing like a 3-fight deal, be done with it, you know, in like a year or two, you know, depending on how many fights he has, and that's it. And then he walks away for good. If he's thinking, you know, long term and he still wants to make money for the next, you know, 5 to 7 years, then I think, you know, it's better to stay in WWE, especially because we don't know how his body's going to hold up in UFC. So, I mean, I think he knows that. I think ultimately, I don't really know. I really don't know what he's going to do because he's a very hard guy to predict as far as what he's going to do. I mean, I would, if I was WWE, I would assume he's gone, but I wouldn't be surprised if he stays, because it really just depends on what his long-term goals are, I think. Shane?
Do you think he's better off in the UFC?
I think he's better off in the UFC if his only goal is to make as much money as possible for a short amount of time.
What about, like, health concerns?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's up to him. I mean, if he doesn't feel his body can handle it, then he obviously is not going to go fight. But I'm taking that out of the equation. I'm saying, assuming that he can fight, I think the decision just comes down to how long he wants to make money. If he wants to only if he's comfortable only making money for a short amount of time and then retiring, he's better off going to the UFC because he'll make more money in the short term doing that. He'll make more money in the long term if he goes to WWE, because I don't think a UFC contract is going to last that long, because I don't see them giving him more than like a 3-fight deal, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I think 3 fights is even stretching it. But I think the UFC will give him whatever he wants to draw the card, which would be tremendously irresponsible based on this person's like past health concerns and the fact that he's,
right,
what, 38 years old? How old is he?
I don't think he's 38, but he's probably 36, something like that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
He's 38. I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe you can YouTube it Wikipedia.
YouTube.
You have a computer in front of you. But I don't know.
But
I think
UFC has to think about it not only in terms of competing against WWE to get him, but also, you know, they have to compete against Bellator, who, you know, really wasn't a competitor for very long, but, you know, it's kind of come up more recently, has been putting on, you know, good shows, supposedly. I haven't really seen any, but they're doing, you know, they're more of a competitor now, and they're going to make a big play at Brock. So they have to worry about not only outbidding WWE, but outbidding Bellator. So I think that's part of the reason they want to snatch him up, isn't completely 100% drawing their own gate, but also kind of stopping their competitor from bringing in this big name and drawing to them. So it's a lot going on there. I think personally, I think I agree with you. I think it's more of he got the payout for this year, thought it was crap, and then when they tried to talk about a new deal, they probably had something similar as far as, you know, network payouts, and he was like, bullshit, because this year sucked and I'm not dealing with this crap again. You know, heated argument. I think showing up at UFC is completely a leverage move to show them, hey, look, I could walk back into UFC tomorrow if I wanted to, so you guys better get on board with me.
Yeah.
But it was definitely interesting to see him
really
there.
I think Dana White's a scumbag for giving into it. Not to be so. And I hate it, I could hear, conservative, Republican voice. Oh, well, anything goes in business. Like, no, don't tell me what, belongs in business or whatever. I've been through the ringers, millions of negotiations. It's just a not classy move that really, I think, does nothing for the UFC except it sets them up for disappointment.
Right.
Even if they sign Brock Lesnar. Like, they're not going to – you think they're going to get the returns on their investment? I don't think so at all. I think he's going to have a one-and-done fight with Frank Mir.
I think it'll pay itself off in the first fight, but maybe probably not after. Hard to say, you know.
I mean, it's a difficult situation. That move, going over to the UFC, is such, a little kid – thing to do. Actually, I mean, maybe it's not as short-sighted as I'm making it out to be, because really, will it affect his relationship with the WWE? No, the WWE will keep him as long as he wants. If anything, it sort of helps his controversial status and his presence if he remains with the WWE. So it's a little different of a situation with a talent and a celebrity like Brock Lesnar, but in terms of from the UFC's perspective, I don't see how they gain anything from this. I just see the UFC as going the way of the dinosaur. I don't see them really gaining any more market share from what they currently have. They had a peak And I think they had the peak. I hate to, like, say it. Like, I mean, but their biggest draws were, I mean, Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva. I think that was, like, the big, like...
It was Anderson Silva and GSP.
Yeah, and GSP, too. I was going to say GSP. Like, GSP brought a big crowd, too. But I think, like, I don't think people gave Chael Sonnen the credit that he actually deserved to, like, selling fights and making the UFC a little more marketable than it was. Like, before Chael Sonnen, Anderson Silva was just, he was, like, I don't want to say, but, yeah, he was like GSP, which is nothing to scoff at, but he wasn't, like, this unbelievable superstar that would bring in tons of, like, pay-per-view buys, you know? And basically that has a lot to do with him in Brazil, because GSP was such a pay-per-view draw because he could easily bring in, like, the Canadian crowd. And people in Brazil, you know, wouldn't really buy the pay-per-views. It's a different market. They wouldn't have access to, like, the pay-per-views like Canada does. But I think the UFC is in a big problem. And this is coming from someone that was, like, a huge UFC mark for many years. But I don't see it being the same draw, and ever being the same draw, as long as Dana White's behind it. I think he's leading the company in the wrong direction. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's easier. I think you said it once before, and you were right. I think it's easier to kind of excel at bringing a floundering company to success than it is to keep a successful company successful and keep them on top. And so I don't know. I think he's as good. He's as suited for that role as, you know, maybe anybody is. I don't know, as far as running that organization. I mean, he's definitely a he's definitely a character. That's for sure. He doesn't hold back, and he's definitely good as far as he wants.
You actually make a very good point right there. There's a big difference in bringing a startup to, like, a point of success. Like, imagine this company with a head of operations, like a CEO, like kind of like CEO Epstein, where he just, like, you know, he wasn't like this stupid personality, but he just, like, made fights, like, based off in, like, a calculated fashion, and, like, did rankings in the appropriate way, and, like, you know, just had a more, like, scientific approach to, like, fight making and running the company. I think it'd be much better.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have like Dana White in here, who's, you know, thinks he's just gonna sell all his fights with cock and balls, just like being like, oh, Mr. Alpha Male, and screaming at the top of his lungs. Like, it's not gonna work. Like, and I'm surprised, like, and they haven't made some, like, transition yet. And I'm talking like this because I'm, like, upset. Like, I used to love the UFC. Now it's just, like, dumb. It's just, like, it's just a dumb, like, fiasco. I don't know.
Did you happen to catch the Ronda Rousey, Kat Zingano fight last night, where Ronda Rousey won in 14 seconds? Definitely.
Classic UFC hype machine for Kat Zingano. Like, it's just stupid. Yeah. I mean, why, you know, after they hyped, like, 184, like, just stop.
I don't know if that is. I mean, she beat Miesha Tate way back when to get that number one spot and then got hurt. I mean, Miesha Tate, I mean, look, every time Ronda Rousey kicks the shit out of one of these people in the first round, it makes Miesha Tate look that much better because she actually took her all the way to the third and got her in trouble a few times, you know,
something
that no one else can come close to. So, but at the same time, it's like, who's going to beat this woman? I mean, WWE is probably, like, creaming and hoping that one day she decides to leave you when she leaves UFC to come to WWE, because she is, like, perfect for she's, like, perfect to be in WWE. She wouldn't be, like, a typical diva, but she's, like, a perfect personality for pro wrestling.
She really is. She plays, like, that heel role very well, but there's no place for that in the UFC. I'm sorry. This isn't the WWE. Like, that, I don't know. I could go on for days.
Are you talking about women?
Yeah.
You think, I would couldn't disagree with that more. And I'm not even saying like because like oh it's sexist to say that. I just actually completely disagree because I mean lately the women's fights have been way more exciting than the men's fights for the most part. I've been way more entertained by the women's
fights. You fucking talking to
fights.
The phone? This is what everyone complains about. Talking to the phone.
I am talking. I have the phone right up to my mouth, buddy.
All right.
But like, I find the women's fights to be more interesting and more entertaining than a lot of the men fight half the time. And I think they, you know, unlike some of the men who spend, you know, half a round or more feeling each other out, the women just go right at it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's fine. Like, I think, like, her personality, like, Ronda Rousey in particular, like, is not, like, a good personality for the women's division. Like, her going after Ariane, like, come on. Like, that's just so lame. Like, lame idiot.
They would definitely need to kind of revamp the Divas division if they were going to have somebody like Ronda Rousey in it. Because,
yeah,
the thought of Ronda against, like, more than half of the people on that roster, in the female roster, is a joke. So they would definitely have to change things up, but like, moving from one,
Said, like, I think I even said it. Hold on 1 second. Chris, do a monologue. Hold on 1 second, okay?
You want me to do a monologue?
Yeah.
Are you
going to
be
hold
listening?
On.
So you're going to know what I said when you come back? All right. Let's monologue. I'm sure the people out there love this. So, moving on from one, I guess, I don't want to say top drawing woman, but the idea of, you know, a sport where a woman just, you know, main evented a show and is one of, if not the biggest draw, arguably, in the company.
Hey, sorry about that. I'm back.
No problem. So I was just transitioning over from Ronda over to another story having to do with women and drawing and what that means was the tweets that went back and forth between Stephanie McMahon and AJ Lee this week. Very interesting. So, I mean, the basic story for those who aren't aware, who I'm sure everyone knew by now. So at the Oscars, Patricia Arquette, when she won her Oscar, basically did a speech, you know, where she mentioned and talked about the gender gap as far as wages and everything like that. And so Stephanie McMahon, being the attention whore that she is, and being somebody who trying to ride the coattails of somebody who's more famous than she, tweets to Patricia Arquette or something, just, you know, saying basically "you go, girl," and like you know complimenting her speech about women equality. To which, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, AJ Lee tweets. First, she retweets what Stephanie McMahon said, and then basically calls her boss a hypocrite in public by basically saying, you know, you're retweeting this, but, you know, you have divas who are top sellers in merchandise, who have been in, you know, top segments throughout the years, and they make a fraction of what men make. You know, basically, you hypocrite. Fantastic. Obviously, we know it's behind it because of, you know, the lawsuit that happened with CM Punk and the WWE doctor recently. But she has some balls to say that, to which all we got from Stephanie McMahon was, thank you for your opinion. So what did you think when you saw it? Because I know for me, I was, you know, first shocked and then loving it, how she was giving it to her boss like that. What did you think? And I hate Stephanie McMahon so much, that fake bullshit that she puts on about, like, you know, women, great. I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with women being empowered, but what a fake ass that she is. And I love that she got called out on it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I love that, I think she's a total, as you said, fake ass. Because, what did she ever do? She inherited her dad's legacy. You know, she's probably a pretty bad, like, role model for women. And
It's not like she would have made it to where she is if she was McMahon's daughter.
Yeah. And apparently, just exactly from, like, behind the scenes, like, she has, like, two secretaries, apparently, and, like, I mean, she's impossible to work with and not a very good, like, negotiator on the creative aspect. So she's, like, a total product of nepotism.
Yeah, good for AJ Lee. I see it as in a battle of the attention whores. I mean, just in general. Like, I see it as attention whore versus attention whore, which is fine. But, yeah, I mean...
That's a good thing.
I like... But I agree. Like, I think it's... I think the women, like, I don't know why women have been subjugated to this, like, weird role in the WWE where they're just supposed to be hot and not have good matches. I always thought that. Like, back in the day with Trish Stratus and Lita, like, I think Lita's very underrated from a perspective of how far she advanced the women's division. Like, if you really think about it, she was, like, the first girl that was kind of, because she always positioned herself as, like, above the women's division, like, just coming out with the Hardy Boys and everything. Not above it, but she was always, like, in a different sort of universe, like, a different world of that Divas division. But then, obviously, she eventually competed in it. And in a way that she wasn't, like, the freak show with Chyna or, like, Nicole Bass or anything, you know? She was, like, a... She was, like, an actual legitimate, like, women's contender. Like, I don't think Lita ever will get, like, enough credit for the role that she brought, like, the women's division to. So I'm a huge fan of the women's, and obviously the thing you point to is NXT. Just the role that the women's division has there and how it steals the show whenever it's on, like, the individual card. So in terms of the sentiment, I'm a total fan of what AJ Lee said, but
yeah,
I mean, in terms of AJ Lee, it's like, AJ, just shut up. Like, we see, like, the same way that I see right through Stephanie, I see right through AJ Lee. Like, shut up with your stupid agenda. Like, we know who you're married to. I mean, that marriage, like, it's gonna suck when that marriage is over in 5 years, because I'm sure you guys aren't gonna stay together. Like, in reality, though, like, why, what are we supposed to believe, like, they're in love or anything? She's like a ring rat slut. That has been like, oh come on, she's been with every wrestler like ever.
I'm not saying anything. Has she? I mean, that was a storyline, dude. Like, I'm talking like in reality, how many?
Yeah, no,
how
in
many
reality,
guys?
Yeah. I mean, I know in ROH she was with Jay Lethal.
Right? Yeah, but though, he trained her though, so I think that's how they met and they formed the relationship. But I didn't know of anybody else besides him and Punk. Like, who else?
A lot. This is where I wish Roberto was on the line. The only time I ever wished Roberto was on the line, because he knows all about this dirt sheet, like, bullshit. But, she's been with, like, tons of guys in the WWE, like, hundreds, allegedly.
So she's the modern Kelly Kelly, is that what you're saying?
Allegedly. Let's not get sued. Allegedly. Yeah.
Well, I'm fairly confident that AJ Lee is not listening to this. Although, who knows? We are blowing up worldwide.
We are blowing up worldwide, in spite of our unprofessionalism and eating pizza on the podcast right now.
Are you eating pizza? Fuck, I want some pizza right now.
Yeah, it's delicious.
That sounds delicious. But anyway, I think
all day.
I think the main takeaway from that is, I like your point about, you know, she's as much of an attention grabber, but it was definitely nice to see somebody basically, you know, put Stephanie in her place and, you know, basically be like, you are a hypocrite and a phony, so stop talking. And I really enjoyed that.
I agree.
Because like I said, like we were saying, it's, you know, she's not the picture of women's achievement. I mean, her position is totally based on nepotism and nothing else.
Yeah. But the same time, like, the person you wish would call them out was, like, those, like, the Ruthless Aggression divas, like Trish Stratus or Lita.
Yeah,
like,
somebody who doesn't have a dog in the fight,
night.
Like the way AJ Lee does.
Yeah. No credit given to them and really brought it, like, whenever they were in the ring. Like, I miss those divas. I miss them so much. But that's why I'm so glad whenever I watch NXT. But, like, AJ, please, don't fight for women's causes. Like, shut up.
I could see that, too. That's a fair argument. That is a fair argument. So next, I think the next piece of big news that came out of WWE this week was that WWE and Rey Mysterio finally came to terms on his release from the company. You know, after he hasn't been on TV for what, at least a year or more, right? And it's been a while. They finally came to terms with that. He's going to be doing his thing. Assumingly, he'll be going back to AAA and Lucha Underground. Supposedly, AAA is doing a press conference on Tuesday. I would expect to hear something about that at that press conference. I'm kind of surprised. I mean, it's weird because Rey Mysterio is not even 40, but he's had so many injuries, he might as well be 100. And but you know, good for him. You know, if he wasn't happy, that's cool. And you know, they should have let him out a long time ago. It's nice to see that he finally kind of got out and is going to be doing something that he, you know, enjoys, which is going back to Mexico and, you know, wrestling with his buddies. So, what do you think? What do you think about that situation?
Yeah, I mean, you put it perfectly. I was never the big Rey Mysterio fan. I just like how it's not the end of the world these days. The WWE isn't the last stop on the train. You know, like, there's life after WWE. There's life even before WWE, like in the indies. I'm just glad the economic, like, environment is like that. And the wrestling products they offer are varied and different. So good for him. Good for Rey Mysterio. I'm glad he left, and I'm glad he's going to find life thereafter. We're really living in, like, such a fortunate time for wrestling fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
where there's so many different options, like, so many different good options, where, like, the main product might even be, like, the third or fourth best. And these guys can actually make money in other places. So good for Rey Mysterio. I love it. What do you think?
No, I definitely am on board with that. I think that's a great sentiment. I think that it is nice to see finally that, you know, it's not WWE or nothing. I mean, it's one step closer. I mean, it's a big step as far as ever getting back to a spot where there's a real competitor for WWE. But it's nice to see it gets us that much closer to that, you know, kind of good period where there was real competition for WWE, because, I mean, that's when wrestling was good, because not only was it good creatively because there was competition and you had to up your game, but it was also good for the talent as far as the way they were treated, because they had the option to just go somewhere else. And, you know, if they weren't being treated right, and they haven't had that option in quite a long time, it's nice to see at least some, resemblance of that coming back a little bit, where you can leave WWE and still be okay and still do well. So it's nice to see, and hopefully we get more of that and with more guys. So definitely, I think it's a good thing for the business. It's definitely a good thing for the talent, and it's a good thing for WWE. They need to kind of be put in their place a little bit to basically be reminded that they can't just do whatever they feel like and fuck over their talent constantly with no consequence.
I mean, okay, no, I don't. No, I have a flair for the dramatic, but how bad do you think it's going to get in WWE? Because I think stars right now are realizing this. Like, Brock Lesnar, like, case in point, just up and left. When he saw, because with the network and everything, with the taking away, so the wrestlers were repaying, the way I view it, as just commissions on pay-per-view buys. Now, the wrestlers aren't getting that anymore because of the network. So how bad do you think it's going to get? Like, in your opinion, do you?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I think, unfortunately, WWE really needs to be threatened in order to, as far as, you know, with their business, to really do anything. I mean, you see it, like, the time they respond where a talent gets what they want or what they deserve is they have to be willing to, you know, really threaten them and push back the way CM Punk did, you know, way back even when 3 years ago or 4 years ago now when he re-signed his deal. I mean, he was basically willing to just be like, well, fuck you, and I'm going to leave, and you know, I'm just going to do something else. And, you know, basically gets them to do what, you know, is in his best interest because they want to keep him. And they have to, I think, you know, what they need, but which will, what will never happen, is a united front kind of against them. They need a group of, a large group of guys with, you know, bigger stars, you know, at the forefront. You know, obviously you're not going to get, you're never going to get John Cena to, you know, say something negative about WWE, but you need a large contingent of guys to really just turn,
but
put the script
who's
on.
Who's bigger than Brock Lesnar now?
I don't know. I mean, probably nobody. But, I mean, the thing with Brock is he's not doing it for the boys. I mean, he's just doing it for himself. But what you need is a large contingent of guys who are just, like, together going to be like, fuck this shit. Like, we're not doing this anymore. If we don't get something better, like, we're done. And, like, you know, half the roster is going to walk out. I mean, it'll never happen, but something like that would I think, radically change things.
Why don't you think that would happen?
Because you really see, because too many guys are too afraid to rock the boat and lose their job than to be willing to stand up to Vince and them like that. So, because in their minds, if they did that, they'll just replace them tomorrow. So, I just don't think they have the stones to do that. And the problem is, it's a culture now where you can't do that because you don't, like I said, you don't have the ability to just go to WCW. You know, you don't have the opportunity to just, you know, say, go fuck yourself, WWE, and I'll just go to WCW. If you leave WWE, it's a struggle. Not everyone is going to be, you know, Del Rio or Mysterio or AJ Styles, who, you know, wasn't in WWE, but the idea being, you leave the company you're at and you're automatically begin to do really well on the indies. That's not necessarily, you know, how everyone's going to do. So it's a lot easier to say that than to do it. So
no, yeah, I totally agree with you. And it just goes, to me, a lot of it goes back to, like, the Zack Ryder phenomenon, you know? Like, why didn't he leave after he didn't get pushed? Because it's too hard. You know, he'd rather just take, like, a steady paycheck.
I mean,
at the appearances and everything.
I mean, he got paid 7 years to do nothing. To literally do nothing. He never had to show up at TV or do anything because he was never used, but he was still collecting, like, a paycheck, you know, every week that, you know, what he was making, I'm sure, even being a jobber and never being on television, is more than the average person makes. I'm sure he was making six figures and he was doing nothing.
What?
Like,
he
literally
making six figures? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that even the minimum guys in WWE make over $100,000. So, like, you know, these guys are, like, in the top percentage of earners, even guys who are doing nothing. So it's like, even if you're a guy, even if you're a lower mid card guy, who, like, rarely gets used, or even when you do get used, you're a jobber and you're not ever doing anything, you're not pushing yourself or anything. I mean, are you going to walk away from, let's say, $250,000 a year when you don't actually, and you don't really have to do anything practically? Like, you literally can be, you're basically living almost like an unemployed person and still making $250,000 a year. I mean, that's hard to walk away from.
Yeah, no, I totally see that completely. I'm not sure. I don't think everyone there is making six figures. You think everyone?
I do think. I think everyone on the main roster makes over $100,000. I do think that. I mean, I may be wrong. I obviously don't know for sure. I don't have any sources in the company, but I actually do think that everyone makes above $100,000 if they're on the main roster.
Why don't you ask Mets fan forever?
Well, spoiler alert, I am Mets fan forever.
All right, what's the next topic?
I don't know. Should we talk about? I mean, we probably shouldn't. I mean, we did our last show before Fastlane, but Fastlane's been talked about to death. I mean, do you want to talk about Fastlane at all, or should we just kind of skip over?
No,
talk
about Fastlane. Let's talk about it just a little bit.
All right. Well, let's start with the only match that really mattered for the most part. I mean, Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns. I mean, my quick thoughts, good match. Not that I didn't expect it to be anything but a good match. But, you know, it's good. You know, we'll see how Roman Reigns does when he actually has to be in a match with somebody who can't carry him the way Daniel Bryan can. But, you know, as we've been saying, as I've been saying anyway from the beginning, good, you know, I expected it to be a good match, but the wrong guy's going to go over, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good match, actually, all carried by Daniel Bryan, pretty much. I don't think Roman Reigns really did too much to shine. I really like his variation on, like, the triple suplex, like the Benoit thing, right? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, look, he did better. He did well, and it's the best match he's ever had, a singles match. But when you're in there with Daniel Bryan, that's like a no-brainer. If you're in there with Daniel Bryan and you don't have one of the best matches of your career, then you're not good. Then you did something wrong.
I thought it was pretty cool how they actually had the dueling champs.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is what we talked about. Like, it's not the same as with Batista, where the crowd is 100% against Batista and for Daniel Bryan. You don't have that. But at the same time, I mean, therefore by doing this, you didn't strengthen either guy. You just weakened both guys by splitting the crowd like that.
Well, I think they weakened Daniel Bryan a tremendous amount. I mean, I think the dueling chance was more of a testament to weakening Daniel Bryan than strengthening Roman Reigns.
Indeed.
But, I mean, personally, I hate Daniel Bryan. I'm so glad he's out of the main event picture. I hope he never comes back. I hope he never recovers. And he's a huge loser. And I'd never even be friends with him in real life.
So you're happy and fine with the fact that it looks like Daniel Bryan is going to be in the Intercontinental title ladder match at WrestleMania.
Oh, is that really it? He's going to be in that match?
It looks that way. It definitely looks that way. That's the way they made it look.
Wait, so who's in that match right now?
Well, nobody's announced. They just announced that it's going to be an Intercontinental title ladder match. Obviously, Barrett is in it because he's the champion. They haven't announced the other names, but just based on what's been going on Raw and SmackDown. If you watched SmackDown last week, they got Bryan involved in it. So it looks like now you definitely have Barrett, Ziggler, Ambrose, R-Truth, and Daniel Bryan in there.
That's ridiculous.
A five-way
Intercontinental ladder match?
But I think they might add somebody else. I wouldn't be surprised if Sheamus makes his way in there, but
no,
we'll see. We will see. I would expect six guys.
So like
guys,
a Money
five.
In the Bank with
so
the Intercontinental.
Money in the Bank exactly, for the Intercontinental title. So that's exactly what it is. And so the number two babyface in the company, the guy who he's number two only in terms of the fact that they don't put him above John Cena, but as far as being over, he's arguably the most over guy in the company. He is in the IC title ladder match at WrestleMania. That's his WrestleMania.
That's fine.
Match,
I mean, the number one, and the number one babyface is in the USA title.
Okay,
picture.
But it's a joke. It's a joke. Okay, if you don't want to put him in the main event with Lesnar, like, fine, I get that. You know, that's their prerogative. But he should have a important match high up on the card. He should not be in what's probably going to be the curtain jerker, which is the IC title ladder match. I mean, the IC title means nothing. Means nothing. And before you argue with me about John Cena and the fact that he's in a match for another useless title, the match with Rusev is not as much about the U.S. title as much as it is about the undefeated streak.
The match with, No, I hear you.
So it's a completely different thing. I mean, I just can't. The better story was Brock and Lesnar and Daniel Bryan. That's where the title match should have went. I mean, like I said once before, the important Roman Reigns match that he should have got, so you could have built him for next year, hopefully, is he should have been the guy to beat Rusev in this year. And then, you know, he could win the U.S. title. He could go on, like, a mid-card title run, you know, build some strength to that title. He'll eventually drop it in a way where he doesn't really get beaten, but he just loses it, like the way Cena did. And then he keep building up to main eventing Mania next year. I mean, that's the way they should do it. That's the way they used to do it. I mean, like I said, this Roman Reigns is now, 4 weeks away from wrestling in the main event at WrestleMania for the title. He's going to beat Brock Lesnar and become the champion. And the match he had at Fastlane against Daniel Bryan is the second singles pay-per-view match he's had. The second match on pay-per-view in a singles match that he's had. And now he's going to be main eventing WrestleMania.
So?
And to me, that's a joke. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I don't really care. Like, I think they should be trying just, like, their first and foremost to put on good matches. No, sorry to sound dismissive. I don't, like, have so much in... I don't hate Roman Reigns. Like, I think he's pretty... I think he's decent in the ring. I think he's better than Batista, no?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's not exactly, that's like asking, like, who's the, who's the smartest kid in, retard camp or something like that. I don't know. I don't hate Roman Reigns. I hate the fact that where he's being positioned already without any justification in my mind for him being in that spot.
Backlash against Roman Reigns. Like, he's not that bad. Like I think there should be more, like, justifiable in other places. Like,
I agree with you that he's not that bad, but since when is the main eventer of WrestleMania, the guy who's going to carry the company, be the next face of the company, he's not a guy who should be like, he's not that bad. come on.
But how did you ever
the Intercontinental Champion, maybe, should be, not that bad. Not the main guy in a company shouldn't be, he's not so bad.
But that's how everyone felt about Cena, I think. Everyone just felt, he's not that bad. Like, that was, like, the smarky response to Cena, too.
But you know what? To me, like, even Cena is, like, better at every of the three main things that would make a main event there. His look is better as far as what they like with him being like a muscle guy. His speaking is way better. And even his wrestling is better, which is hard to admit, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he even makes John Cena look like a much more, like, justifiable head of the company than him. So as tired as I am of John Cena, I mean, he still passes muster better than Roman Reigns.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah. No, I think Cena gets a bad rap, too. I think I have, like, smart backlash, too, because I just hate hearing it all the time about, like, how, you know, just in general. Like, but, fine. I mean, I don't have too much to say. I just don't. Like, Roman, I think you're going to get a good match out of Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. I think, still... I don't think Brock Lesnar is going back to UFC. I still hold my guns at this point.
Okay.
If he's going back to UFC, then why wouldn't, like even, like, his body at this point, like, the way he's working out, he's not, like, in UFC shape at all. He's still, like, working out for the WWE. Like, his shoulders and pecs and everything, they're still, like, huge. You know, he's still, like, powerlifting and everything. He's not, like, He hasn't been training for the UFC at all. You can just tell by the way his physique is. Not to sound super weird. But,
No, it's not weird. So, but what do you think about Randy Orton coming back, and particularly the kind of the storyline they're playing right now, which is the next night on Raw. I mean, they did a great job destroying his reaction in, like, 3 hours, because he came out huge pop. He was, you know, he was very over when he came out, and then the story they went with was basically that he would, you know, align himself again, truce with the authority. I mean, obviously, two things. One, by the end of the show, he was getting pin drops instead of the big reaction he had at the beginning, so they managed to dull his reaction within 3 hours. But also, I mean, is this really... This is really stupid because this is, like, completely outside of the realm of believability because, like, who believes after the way he's been out, like, they put him out, the curb stomp, and he's been out for 4 months, that he's now going to just be like, oh, okay, I'll just continue to work with you. Like, it's just so unrealistic that it just makes it really terrible to me. And I don't know why they need to do this one. There's only, I mean, he's going to turn back within a week or two anyway because there's only 3 or 4 weeks till WrestleMania, so it just makes no sense to me whatsoever. What are your thoughts on the Randy Orton saga?
Yeah. I thought that they don't need to tease that anymore, like that he's going back with the Authority. Like, they already teased that relationship enough. Like, they should have just kept him, as a face through the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean,
that was the
whole story before he got injured. That was the whole story before he got injured of... He's starting to get pissed, and like, but he kept, kind of putting it aside, like, okay, I'll stay with the, and he just kept getting more and more pissed at, like, Seth Rollins. I mean, that was the story beforehand. I mean, so, yeah, I don't know why they're going back to that. It just makes no sense to me, especially when he'd have to turn back within the next week or two anyway, because Mania is happening in in 4 weeks, and assumingly, Rollins and Orton are going to have the match at Mania. So it just makes no sense. And like I said, You make him a heel again, sort of. I mean, even though we know it's not going to last, you make him a heel again immediately and basically turn his big reaction into nobody giving a shit by the end of the show.
Yeah. No, pretty much. I thought that was big. They just sort of went with the energy of him turning face. Instead, they're doing this, like, tease now. It's just too much. Like, I don't know why they're doing that. Just to prolong, like, something into WrestleMania but it's not going to get the same reaction when he eventually does turn on the Authority. And it's like so stupid, like, oh, we're going to have a business conference. Like, who is this exciting for? Like, who's getting pumped up, like, in their living room about, like, oh, yes, I get to watch this business conference. Like, it's all ridiculous. Just a classic example of, like, Triple H and Stephanie, like, asserting their own shitty lines, like, onto the viewers. You know, like, oh, we do business. People are going to be interested in that because they're interested in us. Like, no one's interested in that. Please just do NXT. Like, that's the only show I like watching anymore. Anyway.
It's true. I haven't watched this week's episode. I'm very, I got to get on that because I heard it was good.
No,
I heard Steen on
commentary, which I didn't appreciate.
No, I heard Steen on commentary was very good, so I definitely want to check that out.
Oh, yeah, there was a bunch of good moments. You should watch it.
I'll definitely do that. So I guess the last kind of big match at Fastlane, because we don't have to talk about the whole card, I was excited to see Tyson Kidd and Cesaro win the tag titles. I'm glad about that. And then it looks like Natty's kind of turning heel with them, too. I dig that. So I'm glad about that. But the other big match at Fastlane was the Cena-Rusev match, which ended in Cena basically, the thing they always do with Rusev, basically, when they don't want to beat the guy who he's facing is they have him pass out in the accolade, but after getting kicked in. Apparently you can be knocked unconscious from a kick in the balls. But, really, Rusev did go over. I mean, it's bittersweet. I like to see Cena lose, especially to a guy like Rusev. I like that even though he passed out in the submission, they went out of their way to say it'll go down as a submission victory for Rusev, which is nice because obviously you're never going to see Cena actually submit. But at the same time, it's bittersweet because I also know where this is leading, which is Cena getting his revenge at WrestleMania and having to watch Cena go over another young heel at WrestleMania and destroy him the way he did Bray Wyatt.
I always feel like I'm being a contrarian, but I'm not like the biggest fan of Rusev. Like, I don't care to see him win, really. Like, this is Umaga, like a 2.0.
Right, but I think the issue isn't whether you like Rusev or not. I think the issue is, how are we ever going to build new stars, if especially heels, if the ultimate end game is just going to be to feed them to John Cena so he can beat them?
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying, I guess.
But what I don't think – I think Rusev has a very short shelf life in WWE before his character has to have a complete overhaul. So I just see him winning or losing to John Cena as, like, what's the point?
I don't know.
This is that same character we've seen a million times. Going back to – I mean, this is, like, the outside foreigner that's unusual to everyone, that's a monster and hates American ideals. This is Kamala. Who cares? It's such a who cares gimmick. Like, it's a little different because Kamala now has a hot, like, sidekick, says funny things, but yeah, Lana or whatever. I think
he meant the real Kamala. I'm like, what? What do you mean he has a hot
sidekick? Oh, Kim Chi? What was it? Yeah.
Yeah, Kim Chi.
So I'm sorry to be so negative, but I just think Rusev, like, has a 2-year shelf life in the WWE. After 2 years, nobody will talk about Rusev, nor remember what the hell he's doing. No one will care about Rusev. In fact, people already don't. I think he's got such a short shelf life. So who cares? And I don't know why we're discussing him. This is just a placeholder, like, gimmick for John Cena to go over. Like, I don't care. I don't care about Rusev at all. I think he sucks.
All right. Well, they announced on Raw that the return of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. We have a couple names in there so far. Mizdow, Curtis Axel, Ryback, and I think there's like one or two others, like Fandango and some other guy. But are you excited that the Battle Royal is coming back? I mean, you like the idea of the Battle Royal at WrestleMania, and who do you think is going to win this year?
No, I'm not excited. What the hell kind of question is that? Why are we excited about some stupid, meaningless Battle Royal with no implications or consequences? Because last year, the winner didn't even get a push, and the trophy was broke the night after Raw. They didn't even, like, carry it around. So, no, I'm not excited about the stupid Battle Royal. Who do they think is going to win? I don't care. If it's a vehicle to move around, like, some different stories, like Miz and Mizdow, that's great. But I don't give a shit who wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Well, I mean, I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think it's going to be mostly used as a vehicle for the Miz and Mizdow storyline. I actually think Mizdow has a good chance to win this thing and really set that breakup in motion. So we'll see. I understand where you're coming from. It's the placeholder. It's a good way to get guys on the show who wouldn't normally be on it, rather than, you know, doing some bullshit, like, pre-show match. I mean, it's a good way to get everyone on the main card. But, yeah, whatever. I hope Curtis Axel doesn't win, but doesn't get eliminated either. Like, I want him to somehow do the same thing that happened in the Royal Rumble, and then he can come out and say he was also never thrown out of the Andre the Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So, because I liked his Axel Mania thing, but it was entertaining. It was probably the most entertaining thing on Raw, which is just sad for how bad Raw is these days.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree.
Okay, so basically, after we talked about last week about Samoa Joe leaving TNA, this week they confirmed that some dates in Ring of Honor. So he's going to be doing some dates for Ring of Honor, which I'm not surprised by. I knew he was going to be back. Actually, they're having the 13th anniversary show right now as we speak, and Joe, I believe, is going to be on that show. Not wrestling, but he's going to be on the show. So kind of get an idea of maybe what he's going to be doing with Ring of Honor coming up probably tonight at some point. But at the same time, there's also the rumor that WWE did make Joe an offer. I read a story today. I don't know the truth of it or whether it's even been refuted since I read it. But supposedly he's been telling indie bookers that he's not going to be available after April 23rd. So obviously fueling him additional speculation that he is indeed going to go to WWE, at least to NXT.
thoughts, comments? I mean, we kind of talked about this last week, but you didn't think he would go to WWE, but what do you think about his fit in WWE, and, you know, who would you like, if he does go to WWE, what do you, who would you like to see him against, you know, the most, maybe?
I mean, I'd totally mark out if he showed out in NXT, just to get that out of the way. I'd, like, mark out if he showed up in WWE. I think if he does that, he's got to hit the cardio, like, hit the treadmill, and really try to get back into, like, fighting shape. If he is in WWE, like, I don't even kind of want to think about, Samoa Joe's not the guy you bring into NXT. Like, I'm sorry. Like, he still has the name. You put him up into the right, to the main roster. Just in my opinion. But I hate to see the damage that was done to him in the main roster. If they're kind of keeping Cena in this limbo mid-card type role, I think Joe versus Cena would just be great matchups. Like, two guys that can still, like, go, I don't want to say the twilight of their career, but definitely at the other end of their career, I think that would be just great revitalization for Joe and even for Cena. I think that would be an unbelievable feud. Coming right into it. And you could position it as, you know, John Cena the company man and Samoa Joe as the indie hero, even though our TNA sort of ruined that for him, but almost like I think that's kind of like where you go with that particular angle, with Joe being the heel, obviously. I like the idea of, I like Samoa Joe, like I really do. And I like what he does in the ring. Obviously, they brought him in too late when he could have Joe, CM Punk. Like, that those matches would be unbelievable as they were in ROH. I think there's definitely stuff you can do with Samoa Joe. I didn't know that thing that you just said, that he's telling indie wrestlers that he's not available after April 23rd.
That was a rumor I read this morning. But like I said, I don't know how true it is, and I don't know if it's been contradicted since I read it. It's just something that caught my eye this morning when I was going through some of the news of the day type stuff. So I don't know how true it is, but we'll see. Because I don't think, even with Ring of Honor, I don't think he's booked that late. I don't think he's booked past then as either. So you know, maybe he does a couple indies and ROH dates up until then, and then goes, I don't know. I mean, I heard there is a WWE offer in place. It's not like they might make him an offer, but again, who knows? I mean, you never know what's true and what's not, so I guess we'll just have to wait to see if he actually shows up, because supposedly, I also saw a tweet of somebody kind of inquiring, okay, he said April 23rd, What's on April 23rd or the day after or something like that? And supposedly, I think the day after that is a set of NXT tapings.
Hmm.
So
I mean, that could all be speculation. Like they could.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
well,
you could find anything that would fit in conveniently to that calendar. You know.
We'll see. I mean, I'd love to see down there. I'd love to see another, you know, great, you know, wrestler, great worker down there, just to continue to beef up that NXT roster, because I'm really just getting to a point where I just want everyone to go to NXT and never leave, because then at least I can have one show every week that I'll always enjoy. And, you know, I'd love to see him in there against Steen, see how that one goes, like two big guys kind of colliding. That would be interesting to see.
I think those matches would be terrible, because Steen's not strong enough to lift up a guy like Samoa Joe, like,
definitely,
and throw him
is
around the way to throw up like El Generico. You think he is? All right.
They had a match in the indies that I had seen, and it was very good, and I'm confident they could do it again. Both of them, while being big guys, it's not that classic, like, you know, big guy versus big guy where these two lumbering guys can't move and can't do anything, because they both can. So I don't think that would be a bad thing.
Yeah,
I'm
not saying it'd be a bad match. I'm just saying that's definitely not on my, like, must-see list. Like, that's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, I mean, I'd also like to see him against, you know, Finn Balor and you know, Sami Zayn, see those guys. I mean, I love to see him against all those guys. So we'll see. I'd like to see him against Kenta. That'll be something fun to watch. We'll see. I mean, one thing I'm confident at is that as much as we're concerned about how WWE is going to fuck up these guys, I don't think WWE could fuck him up as much as TNA did. So.
Yeah, that's very true.
So, and as we talk about, you know, we're just talking about Ring of Honor.
What if Samoa Joe Sting collaboration be too esoteric for WWE?
I think it might be. Yeah, I think it might be just because it's gonna, you know, to some people anyway, it's gonna be like, wait, I've seen this in TNA, so.
Yeah.
I don't think they're gonna want to go down that road. But now speaking of Ring of Honor, you know, we were just talking about Joe. So another, you know, kind of piece of news coming out for with regard to Ring of Honor was they announced officially the three joint shows they're going to be doing with New Japan Pro Wrestling in May. They're going to be doing a Wednesday night show in Philadelphia at the old ECW Arena, as well as two shows on a Friday and Saturday at Ted Reeve Arena in Toronto. And those look like they're going to be pay-per-views as opposed to the Philly show. Look, I went to one of the shows, the joint shows last year, the New York show, the War of the Worlds show, and it was excellent. I wanted to go again this year, but tickets went very fast. I don't know, maybe we'll end up there, maybe we won't. But anyone who can go, I definitely suggest that you do because they're going to be great shows, and I really think it's going to be good because anytime you can get those talents to come over here. Okada, Nakamura, Tanahashi, you know, the guys that were here last year. It's always a good thing. And I always like to see, you know, they'll have new opponents, which is always good. And, you know, kind of expose that New Japan style to America and Canada, which is a good thing. So, what are you excited? Should we splurge now and try to get these tickets? What do you think, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, I like them. I just love when New Japan and ROH like combine. But I'm not like a fan of an ROH production. At all, really. Like, I just hate the way like the ROH pay-per-views look. Like even ECW back in the day had like I think infinitely better production than ROH. I just don't know why they can't get it right. Like what the hell they're doing. And there's some, like, main ROH stars that I can't stand. Like, I hate the Briscoes. I hate Jay Lethal. Like, there's so many unlikable characters in ROH. This is just my opinion, obviously. That being said, ROH does some things right, and that's, like, the tag teams. Like, the Young Bucks and Red Dragons and Time Splitters. Like, and I love when they combine forces with New Japan. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And, I mean, I think they're going to be very, very good shows. I wish ROH didn't suck as much as it did. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't hear anybody talking about it. Like, all I hear is ROH marks, like, constantly. But I think ROH is not a good product. Like, it's not a good alternative. What do you think? Like, as case in point,
I think
an ROH pay-per-view, you don't find many bigger, like, wrestling marks than you and me.
Right.
I watch every New Japan thing. I have zero interest in watching ROH. Like, why would I watch that?
I think they definitely fell off a little bit. I mean, I was watching them a couple of years ago, and they were kind of top-notch for me. They were good. It was very good. I mean, they lost a lot of their, like, best guys. That's the problem. Over the years, you know, who went to WWE and who went to, you know, somewhere else, Japan, it's tough for them. I mean, I think they still got some great guys there. I mean, obviously they have, you know, Styles coming through there now. They have, you know, Del Rio coming through there now. And, you know, they have some homegrown guys who are still very good. Like, I think Adam Cole is really good and could actually make it to WWE. We'll see. Same thing with, you know, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. I think they're very great. But yeah, I can see what you're, I can see what you're saying. I mean, the product is a little stale for me. I've kind of dropped off a little bit on Ring of Honor, but I definitely wouldn't miss a chance to go see them with New Japan, because I think, you know, if anything, just to see those New Japan talents is something that is a rare opportunity that I, you know, I took advantage of last year, and I'd love to do again this year. So,
right.
Good times. But yeah, I agree with you as far as, you know, Ring of Honor used to be kind of that top indie that, you know.
No, I remember when they had, like, I just think they always have some, like, unlikable character. And this isn't me being a mark that, like, hates heels. Like, I think Colt Cabana is just, like, an unlikable person. Like, just an unlikable character. Like,
Colt Cabana hasn't been in there in a while.
Exactly, but I'm talking back the days when you're talking about, when they had Daniel Bryanson or Bryan Danielson, whatever the fuck, and, like, you know, like, during those days when ROH was at its prime, I still didn't think it was a great promotion. I don't understand the ROH love. And once again, that's my opinion, but just, like, I don't get it. But whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm pretty much out of stuff to talk about, unless there's anything you wanna bring up or talk about before we close up shop for the night.
No. Let me just look over my notes here.
Notes.
No, I can't really. I mean, think of anything right off the bat. Have you Did we talk about TNA last week?
You might have brought it up. I think you brought up how much you love EC3. I remember that.
Yeah, I didn't watch this week's episode. I'm just wondering if there's anything worthwhile mentioning about this week's episode, but I didn't even see it, and I guess I'm assuming you didn't either. Since,
I didn't. I mean, I know there was a world title match between MVP and Lashley, but...
It sounds terrible.
But I didn't see it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I guess I don't have too much more to bring up on this edition of the Barbershop Window podcast. Unless you have
cheap,
something else.
No, not really. I mean, we're kind of tapped out as far as you know, the news of the week. So I think this is as good a place of any to say goodnight to our loyal listeners.
I have a hypothetical question for you that I think is something worth mentioning.
Okay, go ahead.
They keep bringing up the Bray Wyatt Undertaker storyline. I mean, it's coming to now. We pretty much know it's confirmed that it's going to happen at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
What do you see as the natural progression and outcome of this story?
I really don't see a progression here, and I really don't think this. I really don't see the benefit of doing this program. To be quite honest, I don't think anyone benefits from it. I think no matter which way you go, it's a bad thing. I mean, I think with the Undertaker, if he wasn't ready to be done with wrestling at WrestleMania, he shouldn't have lost. I think the last match of you don't have him lose the streak ever, or if you're gonna have him lose the streak, then that should be his last match ever, and that should have been it. I don't think he should be coming back, because I don't see a good outcome here, because either you have the Undertaker lose two in a row at WrestleMania after going undefeated for 20, you know, some odd years, which makes no sense, and nobody's going to want to see that. People are going to be angry by that idea. Or
right,
you build up Bray Wyatt just to have him lose. So, and then what did we gain from that? Because it's like, okay, Bray Wyatt's this tough guy. He's the new, you know, like, you know, spooky fear guy like the Undertaker was. But he can't even beat a 50-year-old guy who's, like, you know, can barely move.
Yeah.
I don't see a good way out.
I think Bray Wyatt's a great worker and a good wrestler, but I don't see him in a real position as giving The Undertaker a good match. Like,
no, I don't think it's going to be a good match either. And, I mean, the one thing is, I mean, it makes sense for them to be together because of the similarity in the characters, but we're not even going to get that war. We're not even going to get promos, really, for the most part, other than Wyatt, because I even heard the rumor is that they're not even going to have Undertaker appear at all until WrestleMania.
No, they have to. They have to. Have to.
Time will tell. We'll see. But, yeah, I'm not a fan.
They have to sell WrestleMania unless, actually, it's a WWE. I mean, who the hell knows? But, in my opinion, they have to sell WrestleMania, right? Like,
well, one would think. I think they've gotten to a point where they really think that WrestleMania is going to sell itself anyway. So, I don't know. I don't know what's in their head anymore. But I just don't see the good in this program. I just don't see anything good coming out of it. So I really don't think it's. I think it's ill-conceived.
Right.
So I just don't see it. I don't know what to think about it.
I have actually liked Bray Wyatt's promos and everything. I liked when they showed him in the back room building the coffin. I liked when the Druids came out and he came out of the coffin. I thought that was all pretty good. Like, I thought it was good stuff. You know, I don't know, Bray Wyatt has this gimmick now where he's just, like, picking fights with people, like, which I think is sort of cool. Like, he picked a fight with Jericho, then he picked a fight with Ambrose. But at the same time, he's, like, picking fights for no reason, you know? Like, like, I sort of like the way that Rusev and John Cena happened. Like, it happened at, like, a pay-per-view fallout on the WWE Network where Cena was cutting an interview and Rusev interrupted. And then they just sort of stepped on each other's toes. Like, at least that's, like, a believable, like, reason, you know, why two, like, super childish, immature men would then want to fight each other in a ring, you know? But, like, just, like, calling everyone out, it just leaves the character in a weird situation. I don't know. I think it goes back to normal WWE dysfunction. But I don't think, like, I think Undertaker has to lose. And I think Undertaker will lose. Just in my opinion.
Really? See, I really don't. I don't think he's going to lose.
Why? Then what's the point of this program? I mean, even what the fuck is the point?
That's what I'm saying, though. I don't see a point. I don't. I just don't see them beating Taker at two straight WrestleManias. I just don't see it. Especially if they are going to try to squeeze one more out of him next year. Have the retirement be his retirement match basically be next year in Texas, like his home state, against Sting or something like that. I don't see how they can have him lose again.
Unless he beats Bray, and then at the end of the night he interferes with Lesnar and causes Lesnar to lose. That's the only reason why he'd beat Bray. Otherwise, why do it?
We'll see. We'll see. I don't see it. I don't know. I don't see it. I just don't. We'll see how it goes. I mean, the goal is still to get you, Rob, and myself together to do a live, you know, to view together and maybe do an actual podcast together for WrestleMania. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think some pay-per-views are even like, I mean, podcasts. Or even like going down to WrestleMania, our goal is very less ambitious. It's just to somehow all get in the same room. Yeah, yeah. And I doubt we'll even
achieve
that.
Our lofty goals aren't very lofty. Our lofty goals are to actually be in person together at some point, to actually watch a show and do a show together. Which just seems a lot more doable. So we will work to get that accomplished.
To me, it sounds
crazy.
To me, that doesn't sound achievable. At all. I don't know how we do
it. It may not be.
But we'll see.
I mean, it was a lot easier when we were all in the same state, but now we're not, so.
Yeah.
But, all right, well, if you don't have anything else, I think this is a good place as any to shut down and close up shop.
Yeah,
so,
I suppose I don't have anything else.
All right, well, then on behalf of Shane and myself, we thank you. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Barbershop Window Podcast. You can listen to this and all our past episodes at blogtalkradio.com, iTunes, and Stitcher. can follow me on Twitter at IMCVigilante. Rob is at Zanzinator, although he's not here today. Shane is at ShaneWinter14. And, yeah, just keep listening. Tell people about us. Keep supporting the show as best you can, guys, and we will work hard to always try to make this thing better than it is. And so for myself and Shane, good night, everyone. And good night, as always, to you, Shane.
Good night, Chris.
All right. Take it easy. Peace, everyone.